research project where there was a lot of skills development that's focused on bladder and breathing and other needlework practices. And what I was doing was working with those craft practices to build up my own skill set and build up that passive knowledge of the process to kind of have a better sense of like how do these, what is the structure of those textiles and crafts inform something visual. And so I was working with soft materials, Nathan was working with plotting machines, and the two of them became soft crafts together. And it was an interesting overlap of some technology and found objects. Some of the most successful works that I have in that show are actually very simple. They are just scrap tyndall stone. And if you don't know tyndall stone, it is a very, very common classic Manitoba building material. Every major historical building in the downtown core, the Winnipeg Art Gallery, they have a lot of tyndall stone, and it's a very distinctive texture. So because it's so common, it's also not valuable or not valued. And so I ended up going to a thrift store one day, and I found a pallet of cuts of corner pieces, some wedges, of those little marginal forgotten about pieces for maybe $5. And I just took the whole thing, and I was trying to figure out, okay, so now I have a structure, I have something that talks to architecture. What is the ornamentation? How do I put a flower on there? And because of the nature of those tyndall stones, cuts as a pre-made, mass-produced object, I found that it made a lot of sense to take another mass-produced object, which was a latex balloon from Dollarama, and just fill it with sand. So that became the final composition, but I just filled a bunch of balloons with sand, took the tyndall, put it together on a wall, and it was very successful in the end. It was a very interesting end result, sidestep out of all of the research and practice that I had been doing. And it did really well with some of the plotting pieces that Mathis had made, which were some very large portraits made with a ballpoint pen, and you could see all of the individual landmarks that were part of the final image. You know, disappeared at a distance, but when you're up close, you can see that it's very much a mass-produced object. So that was how it came about. It was very short, very brief exhibition, but it was a chance to finish up some threads of research, some threads of thought, test out the ideas, and then lead into the work, the paintings that I'm doing now. So I'm very happy with it. It was a lot of fun.
So what did you hope your audience would experience and walk away with from this show?
What I hope people will get out of the works is a sense of playful discovery, where there's an opportunity to be confronted by some very vibrant or subtle or playful pieces that have just a little bit of familiarity, but also present things in just a different enough way that it makes you want to stop and think about where is this coming from? Why is it so just not quite there, but lead you with a little bit of surprise.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your design work and give us a few examples of the banners or the posters or the illustrations and brand logos you've worked on?
In terms of design work, I'll preface this by saying that I really just fell sideways into design as a profession. I've never actually studied design in a university context or anything beyond, just find myself in a position to do design work consistently, and then just getting a little bit more work from those previous jobs. And so I would say illustration is actually the earliest example of that, and one of my favorite blogs for the buyer was doing the cover illustrations for the United newspaper. And it was probably around 2010 or thereabouts. But there's one that I think about often that was for a column called Outdigenous. And it was written by an indigenous author whose name I unfortunately cannot remember. But it was mostly reporting on the city, what's going on, what's happening, and bringing up the interesting perspective to, you know, city events. But I had a lot of fun with that cover, and I used it quite often as the feature image. And then after that, got a little bit more corporate. Unfortunately, there's a transition that happens where I then design the piece regularly. Stable employment is also not that creative in the same way. There's some pockets of opportunity for some really bold applications, but for the most part, it's very much day to day, get the thing done, get printed, get some information on a page or put information out. And so I've done some branding as well. There was last year, 75th anniversary celebration logo that was very fun to do. I'm blanking on the name of the organization, unfortunately. And in my day job right now, I actually do the design work for the Winnipeg Art Gallery, which is mostly supporting the exhibitions that are hosted there. And a little bit of the promotional materials to advertise and get the information out. It's very fun because I get to work with the artist sometimes directly to get a sense of what they want to do, what they're looking for, and how I can make it possible for them. And one of the best parts of that job is that if you've ever been to the Winnipeg Art Gallery, there's a staircase that leads up two floors to the gallery's floor. And it's a beautiful skyline, very well lit. And each of the three galleries, four, have large glass doors that lead into each exhibition. And so my job has been to create something very visually captivating to introduce the exhibition that will go on those doors. So I've had a lot of fun with those. Sometimes the artist knows exactly what they want, and they will tell me and make that happen. Sometimes the creator will come to me with an idea or an emotion or a mood that they want to capture, and it becomes my job to make that possible, figure out what will encapsulate that mood. So there's a very broad mix of challenges through the design work that I do. It's a lot of fun, for sure.
Tell us maybe a little bit about the courses that you have coming up and what you enjoy most about teaching art.
Yes. Oh, that's actually the first time I've been asked this question. So thank you, Dad. Currently, I teach screen painting predominantly at my district studio. And I've been involved with the studio for about 10 years now in various capacities. I first started as a teaching assistant. And a couple years after that, but about the tail end of the pandemic, is when I first started teaching classes there. And so, in actually, screen paint is my specialty, but I'm also developing a color theory course that will tie into some of those skills, but also look more closely at how does color work, how do we use it as artists, the relationships, some of those fun parts of working with color. And it's something that I really enjoy doing, teaching, is because it's always that secondhand environment of seeing other people learning and developing their skill set that I really, really deeply appreciate and keeps me engaged, because as the teacher, I need to be sure that I am both putting them on the right path so that they know what they're doing and they're well prepared to keep working after the class ends. But it also means that I have to really know what I'm talking about, and that means that I have to keep learning and be very introspective to be sure that what I'm saying clear? Are my ideas, my theories clear and easy to communicate? And there's that dynamic balance, I think, between how I'm teaching a class and materials, but they're also teaching me how to teach them, how to interact with them. And it's a very back and forth dynamic that I really enjoy. So it's been about 5 years, and I've taught screen painting. There's another one called the Youth Outreach Project, which is specifically for 18 to 25-year-olds. Most of them are just coming out of university. It's also out of high school, going into university. So there's that transition period where a lot of people are finding out both who they are, what they want to do, what they're interested in, how do they keep doing things outside of the structured life of primary education. And every now and then I see a student that I've had in the past, and it's just the best feeling to come back and catch up with them, see where they are now. I really enjoy that. It would be fun to keep working on some new courses, because part of my ethos as an artist, I think, is that I want to really know what it is that I'm doing, because I want to be able to share that with others. And that nature of sharing, that relationship between people, is part of what I'm interested in the work that I do, which is a little bit more oblique. But with teaching, it's very direct. I'm here to help you. Let me know what you need. So I like that balance.
So what's next for you?
That's an ongoing question that I still don't have an answer to. I thought about going back for graduate work, get the MFA, just to check that item off. But the first time I wanted to go back to school was 2019, right before the pandemic. And so the pandemic hit, and that just kind of put a damper on that plan. And ever since, it's been more about daily life, keeps insisting on itself. And now that I am where I am, I have, stable work, I have a studio, I have a lot of work working towards for quite a while. It feels like right now, at least for the next year or two, I just kind of want to hunker down and focus on the project that I'm working on here at the residency, just make some more paintings, probably explore those ideas. And then maybe at the end of that project, I will be in a different place, maybe the world will be in a different place. Something might be a good push to say, yeah, it's time to find a new city, it's time to find a new school. But I don't think I want to teach in the universities I know that much. It's a very different world, academia, and it's something that I've always been kind of in tension with as well, is that nature of being outsider in academia. And I say that as a deaf queer person, it's not quite the most comfortable experience, but that could also have been just from the nature of going into university and doing my undergrad. Right at high school, where I was still very much a chaotic time in my life, I feel like probably it would work out better now that I'm at a place where I have a lot more confidence in what I want to do, who I am, what I'm thinking, why I'm thinking, and just being able to say that these are the ideas that I'm interested in, and being able to be around so many other people with brilliant, exciting ideas, and that new side of myself and my interests. So for now, I think I will keep developing some color, keep working on some paintings, and I'll be working on a show to display these works and explore the execution. But that's going to be a little bit farther down the road. So we'll see what happens, we'll see what comes my way.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and valuable insight with our audience. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and we wish you continued success.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a wonderful pleasure.
I'm your host, Susan Cohn, and thank you for listening to Art World Innovators here on UMFM 101.5 at the University of Manitoba. Join us again next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. for more on today's innovators in the art world.
GPA's on the first floor of University Center is the place to suit those hunger cravings, whether you're looking for candy, chocolate, chips, or some other type of snack goodness. We proudly brew and cup coffee made fresh daily and stock a variety of fresh sandwiches and baked goods from some of Winnipeg's top vendors. Our coolers are stocked with a wide variety of beverages guaranteed to quench your thirst. Swing by between classes and pick up what you need to survive your day. Currently open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the weekends. We're proudly student-operated with pricing that fits your budget.
Come on! What are you waiting for? Daddy needs his medicine. I'm sick, baby. I'm sick. Come on, baby. Daddy needs his feel-good juice. Oh, yeah. That's the stuff. That's what Daddy needs. Yeah. See, what it is we're all community. And when you're a community, and when love matters to it...
Just give me any rock!
UMFM 101.5, broadcasting 1,200 watts from the University of Manitoba, giving Winnipeg and the surrounding community the good stuff since 1998.
Of a whole life, all that remains of a mother and wife, some trinkets and some china, notes and books, and pictures of relatives, I don't know. When in amongst the treasures that she left behind were the words I swear she left just for me. Glory be, glory be, glory be, written out in black calligraphy. Glory be for life, for starlight and for moonlight, for the light in the window that welcomes me home. For the light on in the window that welcomes me home. Didn't know her well in the years she was alive. Got to know her through her legacy. Her words spoke of a wisdom only experience could provide. Lifetime of valued memories. Oh, glory be. Grandmother's words as simple as they could be. Glory be for life, starlight and for moonlight. For the light in the window that welcomes me home. For the light on in the window that welcomes me home. Keep on moving so I can be buried deep. No earth shall rest upon my feet. And when it's my time to go, leave a light in the window to welcome me back home, the glory be. Possessions, bodies, souls can we take with us when we go? Leave a light on in the window to welcome me home. Leave a light on in the window to welcome me home. In a box there on the table is the sum of a whole life. Thank you. she crashed into the ground below and stopped reaching for the sky.
And I know when September comes, you will be gone on a sudden wind, and I'll be the one crying. This brings you again, you need a friend, say you're in love.
Winnipeg. Oh, you lovely little city, Winnipeg. My name is Connor. This is Dagwood Radio. You found your way to the lovely, the glorious, the sunny UMFM 101.5. Coming to you live from the University of Manitoba campus here in the heart of the campus, University Center. I was away for a few weeks. I'm back. Intentional. Not going through the motions. If I don't have it, I don't have it. But no, when I'm back on the air, it's with purpose. I hope you've been well. Even though I know in these times right now it can be a little tough, that's why we need the arts. That's why we love music. It can help us connect to some of those issues. It can help us explain some of our feelings. It can be a distraction. Cassius Culpepper, Sierra Farrell to kick things off with Broken Wing Bird off of Act 1. That song last week found its way onto this playlist. And like most on this show tonight, ones we may have heard before, but most of these songs in this show were, like stop you in your tracks type of songs. Songs that have incredible messages to them. Songs that are very stunning. Poetry. Beautiful, beautiful songs with incredible lyrics and voices and music. But the big focus tonight is songs that carry words that hit hard. I love lyrics when it comes to music. And I hope you enjoyed tonight. We're going to dive into the world a little bit. I thank you so much for tuning in. You're stuck with me for the next 2 hours. So let's dive right back in. Cameron Winter with Love Takes Miles. We're then going to dive into some newer stuff from Slow Leaves, Don't Fret. And then Boy Golden, Best of Our Possible Lives. That is the title track, I believe. So let's get right back into it. This is Cameron Winter, Love Takes Miles, here on Dagwood Radio, UMFM 101.5. Thank you.
love will call. Will you get enough under your arms? Oh, mama. Love will call. Love will make you feel it all in the cold. Oh, mama. Something will take you by your pants and swing you over his head and kick you back and forth. Watching our bells, watching the lights. What I want is far away. Talk to the moon, flatten her down. Make her watch the wind all night. She can't wait, running as hell. Walking around without the wind. I'm out here watching the moon, running it down. Love makes love. You left me promising your shoes, mama. I need your feet more than you do, mama. I need somebody sit down from the sun and talks to me how you used to. Molly as hell, feet on the ground. What I want is come back.
Receding, lit secret after life. All of Your fill. I will be there in the road.